folks filing in, let's go ahead and find their seats so we can get the period of 4 o'clock worship started. I would like to welcome everybody back. We've got a few folks still coming in. We'll go ahead and get things rolling. I do have a couple of brief announcements before we do so. We do have a couple of changes to the sick list. Mentioned this morning that the Wigington kids were not doing so well. Tony is with them this afternoon. Carrie is Keith, sorry. Finding a couple of places. Keith is with them. Tina Wright is also not with us this afternoon. Mallory is also not feeling well. As far as the members out of town, it looks like Andrew and Charlotte are still not back with us. Mark Nevins is back this afternoon, though. Tim and Janet still traveling. Kaysen's, Kirby's, Sparker's, Lichtenberg's are also all still traveling. Mark Kaysen was mentioned this morning as having the Wednesday invitation. We have several changes to the duty roster with the absences and everything else. So I'm going to ask Tony if he can to lead the opening prayer for us at the appropriate time. Warren will handle the communion for those that need to still partake. Mark Nevins is handling our song service for the afternoon. You'll see he has 138 marked as his first selection. Chuck will be bringing the lesson of the hour. I have asked Mike Johnson to word the closing prayer for us at the appropriate time. If there's anything else that needs to be brought up, we can do so at the end of service. With that being said, I will turn things over to Mark.
In number 138 of Selected Hymns, it should be most familiar to us this evening. In 138. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. Well, there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Father along will know all about it. Father along will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand.
Understand it all by and by. When
shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
Hymn number 382. Hymn number 382.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, leave with him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross,
Lord's Day evening, to study another portion of thy word. We're thankful for your people that have gathered here and understand the importance of putting you first in our life. We pray as we open thy word tonight that we will have open hearts and open minds to find what is taught to be true and apply it to our lives. Father, we're thankful for your Son and our Savior, the sacrifice that was made upon the cross. We pray that we never take that sacrifice for granted, and that through that we have a hope to spend eternal life and be in heaven. Father, we pray for the work here at River Ridge. We pray that much good will come from it in this community. We pray that we will be able to get into our building soon, Father. We pray that you'll watch over that work and that you'll be with the elders as the decisions they make. And we pray that much good will come from it. We pray for those of our number that are on the roads of travel. Pray that you'll watch over them this evening. Pray that you will allow them a safe journey home. We pray for those of our number that are sick. Pray be thy will that you will turn them back to a proper portion of health. And they will once again be able to come and meet together with the saints. Father, we're thankful for Brother Chuck as Him and Sister Debbie labor here. We'll pray that they will have a long life in thy service. We pray that they will always stand strong and stand firm in the truth. We pray that you go with us now throughout this hour. Be our everybody and guest. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
For the Lord's sake, extended this evening, hymn number 12. It's in the first, second, and last verses. 1, 2, and 5.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Father, we pray that your blessing will be upon this bread, Lord, which is the communion with our Lord's body that's willingly sacrificed on the cross for our sins. Our prayer is, Lord, that those who partake will do so in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto you. Amen. See the hands of those? Let's pray. Our God and Father, we pray that your blessing will be upon this fruit of the vine, Lord, which to us as Christians is communion with our Lord's blood that he sacrificed upon that cross for our sins. Heavenly Father, we realize that we have no way of showing our thankfulness and for what's been done for us, Lord. In this term, we remember your death and what you've done for us, mankind. Our prayer is that those who protect will do so in a manner that is pleasing to you. We offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The offering plate is available if anyone needs to use it.
The word mark hymn number 61, that would be the invitation behind hymn number 61. If you're doing so, our next hymn is hymn number 208. And it is convenient if you all stand, please do. Sing all three verses.
Tis the grandest thing to the ages rung, tis the grandest thing for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest thing that the world e'er sung, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest theme in the earth or man. Tis the grandest thing for a mortal strength. Tis the grandest thing, tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him. Our God is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest thing, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee.
You see, please.
The last time on the Sunday morning sermon, I'm going to brag about how large the crowd is. It's almost like one time years ago when I was in Danville, and a young preacher going off and preaching country churches. I remember I told him, I said, hold off on the giving till after my sermon. I want to preach on giving today. And when I did that, the contribution went down. Just like, no way. Anyways, it's good to see you all out tonight, and let's not forget, we did not announce, and you might want to open up your Bible to get you in the right direction while I'm giving some announcement here, in Acts chapter 8, if you want to head over there. Tina's got a procedure on Tuesday. That's where they're going to put her to sleep so they can bend her knee more. You know, unlike most people that have knee replacements, you know, they can take pain medicine. Well, Tina can't. And so that's made it very difficult for her to go through therapy because the pain medicine affecting her. So they're going to put her out and stretch it more, and she's going to need our prayers because, you know, she has to come to sooner or later, and that's not going to be fun. And so remember her, and that's going to be on Tuesday. We have others that are homesick tonight, and they weren't feeling well this morning. We could see that. We had a number of folks that came out this morning, but they're not out this evening. Over in Acts, the eighth chapter, I want to read a section here. I'm going to start reading in verse 14, and then we're going to ask a question, and then we're going to go from there. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.
Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, and perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. Now, you're familiar with this story, and there's a lot of great lessons we can glean from this. And I especially like it when it talks about, you know, how the Holy Spirit was given through laying on the apostles' hands and so on. But really, I want us to think for a moment, why was what Simon did so bad? I mean, I could agree, but Peter didn't mince any words here. I mean, he laid it out there how serious it was. What made it so bad? And that's what I want us to take a closer look at. And obviously, if I were to give this sermon a title, it's like, you can't buy the gift of God. You can't buy it. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, it doesn't tell us that money is the root of all evil. The love of money is. This is the problem. This is the problem. I believe that we're going to be able to glean 4 or 5 points from this that's going to show us how the love of money can surface in different ways in our lives. Now, in this case, it surfaced by him saying, hey, I want that power. I want to buy the gift of God. And so it surfaced that way, that his bad attitude, that what he thought about money. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to take a closer look at this and see what made Simon sin so bad, and to make sure that it doesn't creep into our lives. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, money changes people. Money changes people. And even the lack of it, even the lack of money can change people. There are people who long for that. You can have a love for money and not have it. You can have a love for money and have a lot of it. You can have a little bit of it and still have a love of money. Now, love of money being the root of all evil, we need to be aware of those dangers, and we'd be naive if we thought for a moment that it would not affect you or myself. So let's go to our first point, and our first point is gleaned from verse 19. When he said, that anyone on whom I lay hands might receive the Holy Spirit. Those with money may think that they have an advantage. They want an advantage over others. I want to purchase this because anyone that I lay hands on, you know, because in other words, I'm going to purchase this with money. We're going to talk more about that in detail. But see, I want to be able to be the one. I want to be the one. I'm going to be in control. I'm going to decide who gets the Holy Spirit. And that comes from an attitude of that because of money, I think I can have an advantage. Because if I don't offer you money, if I don't get this power, then I don't have the ability to choose who gets it. But I want to have the ability to choose who gets it. Therefore, I want an advantage that I can get from this. I can get an advantage. And people will think that they have an advantage with God or being a servant of God because of money. Do we think really for a moment from Luke chapter 16 verses 19 on with the rich man and Lazarus? Do we really think that rich man, you know, would anybody think that prior to what had happened there that he's going to consider himself right in the sight of God because he's rich? Well, of course. A lot of people think that because if they've been blessed with a lot, they have an advantage as far as being closer to the Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You might want to mark that. I'm going to mark that Acts 8 because we're going to come back there a number of times tonight. I'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But I don't know why people think that they have an advantage because they have money. Say, Chuck, are you serious? Everybody thinks that. You know what makes this world go round? If you have money, you have power. And it can happen in the religious realm. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he tells us in verse 26, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty. I was informed this past week of a congregation that's going through some tremendous turmoil because of money. Because of the influence they want to have on the community and try to make an impression upon them. And forget the spiritual level of the congregation there. The focus is all on the show. Because of what the money, the vast amount of money that we have, let's use it for this. Rather than focusing on the spiritual things. But again, it comes back with this idea that when you have a lot of money, then that gives us power. And we can have an advantage. And what can happen is that we'll look down on other people. Look down on the poor. I'm better than them. Wait a second. I can't think like that. He says, not many mighty, not many noble are called, not many wise according to the flesh. So there's no room for me to be arrogant within all this. Turn over to Mark the 10th chapter quickly. Mark chapter 10. I want to read a couple of verses here. Mark chapter 10. And was Jesus joking when he said, look at verse 23. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now that's what Jesus is saying, but that's really not the mindset of some people. You got to go back and you have to think of Simon once again. You have to see, why was it so bad what he did? Well, because the heart of it was, is that he wanted an advantage. Do you understand? Now, for any one of us here that wants to serve God, but we want an advantage, we want to be better than the other members here, then we've missed it. We've missed it. But money does that. Money changes you. And Simon had that attitude of, you know what, I want to be able to decide who gets it. And money can get me there. Money can get me where I want to be. And money can get me in the position within the church where I can be in control. Well, we have to be careful of that kind of thinking. There's no room for looking down on the poor, as I said. But those with money can and often do think that they are better, have an advantage with God. When in truth, it can be the opposite. And that's what he talked about earlier in this chapter. Go to move up to verse 17, the same chapter, if you're still in Mark, chapter 10. Okay, verse 17, now he's going down the road. One came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, no one is good. Or why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said these things, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, and said to him, you still lack one thing. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at his word and went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. Whereas the opposite of people think today is that if I have great possessions, I never have to be sorrowful, because you know what? That gives me a favor with God, and it doesn't. We need to be careful of the dangers with that. And so the first thing that I'm wanting us to see here is that those with money think they can have an advantage. Well, what's the second thing? Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 8. Let me read a little bit more. Look at verse 18. Remember what it says? When Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, it says, he offered them money. Okay? He offered them money. And then what he says in verse 19, saying, first two words, give me. I'm offering you money, now give me. What's wrong with this? Well, those with money think they can do whatever they want. Money talks. Money will get me what I want. Now, I'm offering you money, now give me. Kind of reminds me of a line in the movie, and I don't want you guys to go, I know what the movie that's from. But there's a line in the movie that said, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Yes, it was Spider-Man. But anyways, with great power comes great responsibility. Do you understand? When we're talking about being a servant of God, here's a person who says, I can do whatever I want. I'm going to decide who gets it. I'm going to offer you money, now give me. What, just because you said so? Just give me? Well, that whole idea that there's great responsibility placed upon us when there's power, I got news for you. These writers of movies and whatnot, nothing's new under the sun. Nothing is new under the sun. And all that reminds me of is the passage over here in 2 Corinthians. You turn over there quickly, the 12th chapter, just read verse 7. Here's what it says. It says, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." So, you know, with great power, you know, comes great responsibility, you know, and, you know, with the abundance of revelation, there is a danger. You need to be careful. But, you know, not this, you know, sometimes with this money aspect, we let money go to our head, and Simon, what he did was so bad because he just basically saying, well, here's money, give it to me. Here's money, give it to me. Why? Because money talks. That's what they think. People think that if you got it, you get anything you want. I can make any people do what I want. Watch, I can make people dance. I can say, hey, here, Dan, you want this $100? Now jump around on one foot, because I've got money, and it gives me power. Dan goes, keep your $100. I'm not doing it. Okay, on that level, Dan would say, forget about it. I'm not doing it. I'm going to embarrass myself. But you'd be amazed what people will think with money. I do whatever I want. And it can creep into the church and creep into spiritual areas, and just thinking that just because we have money, give me. Do this, I expect. Give this, I expect. I'm the biggest giver, therefore I expect power. And that is so dangerous, and we're going to talk more about that a little bit later when we get to our fourth point. We've only covered two. Because that's very similar to what he's doing here. That's something else, you know, similar to another incident in the scriptures. And you might be thinking about that, and I'll just give you time to think about that. But I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 8 now. Let's look at something else. I said, give me, right? I stopped saying, give me this power. Well, it's a simple point. Kind of touched on it a little bit, but those with money, obviously, they want power. They want to rule in society, of course. And some think it's to be the same within the church. And I know this is real because of something we touched on this morning. I didn't go into detail. But remember 1 Timothy chapter 3? You know, if Tim were sitting there, I'm preaching to myself, others that want to be elders one day, look what he says here. When he's talking about elders, the bishop in verse 3 must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, apt to teach, not given to wine, not violent. Why does he say here, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous? Don't be that. Well, why are you saying that? I'm going to be an elder in the congregation. That's not going to be a problem. Oh, yeah? It can be a serious problem. There are congregations that are sitting on hundreds and thousands of dollars. Do you know that? There are churches that are sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars and are not spending because the elders don't want to. And it can happen because people can become greedy. And you know, with money, there's power. It's their money. No, it's the Lord's. You serve the Lord. The church is not yours, you elders. You're servants within that congregation, and you're lead by example. But it was a downfall of many, a downfall of Judas. Of course, we know Judas is a sermon in itself. He held the bag. Big mistake. You got a problem with money, don't volunteer to be traded. I'll tell you, you got problems with covetousness? You do not want to be an elder. You need to work on that, of course. We're not saying that elders are not to be covetous, but the rest of the congregation can be. No, it's not saying that, of course. But he is warning against the dangers that were there. Now, I want to ask you something. This is food for thought. I don't know. I don't know what I'm about to ask you. I don't know the answer to this. But I kind of have an opinion. But I'm not going to preach opinions. But remember 3 John? When I read about this guy, listen to this. Verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Now, my question to you is, do you really think that this is the poorest member of the congregation? I mean, did that ever pop into your mind? Do you think, here's a guy who doesn't have anything. He comes in, sits down, doesn't have the best clothes, doesn't have much food to eat. He's just one of the poorest members that are there. And that's Diotrephes. Did that ever cross your mind? Never crossed my mind, because I really have a hard time seeing that. I see more of a person who has much, in whatever sense we want to use that. Now, I can't say that for sure, but I'm just saying that from what happens in the world today, it's usually people who are power hungry, who have a lot, they expect that it goes with it, as we touched on a little bit earlier. There can be this expectations just basically because of what we have. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Let's slow down and talk about this, because here's a parallel. Not a perfect parallel, but something similar to what happened when we're talking about he offered them money in verse 19, right? He offered them money. Have you ever thought about this? Why didn't Simon just say, hey, can I have that fellowship? So that when I lay hands on people, why offer them money? You ever think about that? Why did he offer them money? Just ask for the power. Wouldn't that have been better? Well, as I mentioned before, people think money talks. Now let's look at the difference between how the apostle reacted, of course, not what Peter said, and what you have in Matthew chapter 28. Now, Matthew chapter 28, something similar. We got people offering money. Let's look how they reacted. Verse 11. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that have happened. See, Jesus resurrected. Now, when they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported amongst the Jews until this day. So what do you have here? You have people being offered money to lie, to do something wrong. Simon was offering money to do something wrong. It was not their place to do this. So they said no. What do you have here? I think what you have here is a reality of what money can do. They took the money. They took the money based on what? Well, they took it based on the idea when it says in verse 14, if this comes to the governor's ear, basically we'll take it. Don't you worry about it. I don't know if I trust anybody with my life. You know, to find out that you've lied, if it comes back to them, you know, we'll take care of it. No, you just don't do that. But they took the money because money talks. And with these people, of course, you got these false teachers who, you know, these chief priests who wanted Jesus dead to begin with, but certainly doesn't want the idea that he resurrected from the dead being circulated. So with them, what is their attitude? We'll take care of this. Money talks. We'll bribe them. I want to ask you something. Could you be bribed? Well, what do you mean? Nobody's ever bribed me. Really? Well, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Don't you think you're being tempted today? You're being bribed not to put the Lord first? You're being bribed all the time. Satan is doing this, but yet we're saying, are you kidding? No, I know where I need to be. I'm putting God first. That was mentioned in the prayer. Our priorities are to put God first. We are serving Him. But the problem comes is with people with money, it can get to the best of them. There's nothing wrong with money. I said that, but it's the love of money. What I'm saying tonight, guys, is it's the love of money surfacing in your life in different ways. You need to examine your life. I pray that it doesn't. But he says the love of money is the root of all evil. And it tends to lead to so many different things. I know you need a job. And then there's nothing wrong with you wanting to get promoted. There's nothing wrong with you. You know, you have a side job. Now, I get that. And you're planning for your retirement. I understand the idea. Nothing wrong with having money. And there were people who were rich. Remember, the rich man wasn't lost because he was rich. Remember that? In Luke 16. It wasn't because he was rich. Because he was ungodly. Simple as that. Just like Lazarus wasn't in paradise in Abraham's bosom because he was poor. Man, if I knew poor meant you're guaranteed to go into heaven, guess what? I'm going to do like I read on the news yesterday. Some guy just opened up his house and said, take whatever you want. Didn't charge him. These a lot of people. They just put, you know, just take it. I'm not selling it. Just come and take it all. And people came and took everything and went his way back. But if poor meant guaranteed going to heaven, I want to go to heaven so bad, I'd do the same. Put an ad in the paper, take it all. Just take it. Don't want it. But that doesn't guarantee me heaven. Being poor doesn't guarantee me heaven. And we need to be mindful of that. So I'm not saying just having money guarantees that you're going to miss heaven. But what I'm saying is, since all of us here have it, there are dangers with it. And the biggest dangers is just summed up in one word, is love. Do you have a love of money? I don't want to have a love of money. But it's the love of money that gets a lot of people in trouble, especially this country at one time. You know, when people thought they could make a quick buck, and you know, and you could buy a house for pennies, and you know, as far as pennies down. People can get greedy. Simon. When I see what's happened here with Simon, I'm thinking to myself, oh man, Peter, are you overreacting? You know, you say you're neither part nor portion in this matter. Your heart's not right. Repent therefore of your wickedness. Poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity? Wow, that's a little strong, isn't that, Peter? No, because you thought you could purchase the gift of God. You thought you could do that. Who even thinks that? Simon. Why did he think that? Because with money, he thought, comes power. Even in the spiritual realm. That's the problem that you have. All right. 2 Corinthians 9. We got to go here. Okay. I know what you're going to read here because you're talking about giving. You see, people flash money around, may not open their wallet and flash $100 bills, but they might want the biggest and best of everything. Okay, people might not sit here and say, oh, how did that 20 get in there? Don't worry, I have one. You know, but people just, oh, you know, they pull up that wad, you know, and, oh, listen, I want to pay you for that. What? What's that all about? You know, people like flash it, you know. But you don't have to flash it like that. You might flash it another. I want the biggest and best around, and I want people to know that I have the best of everything. And we can expect things. When you have a love of money, you have this idea of expecting things. And then ungodly behavior surfaces simply because you can offer money. In other words, offer the show because I've got the biggest and the best because I expect to be elevated. Now, you know, when we talk about all this, boy, do I see the wisdom in God here when he talks about giving. I see the wisdom in God. He didn't say, just give. Find that interesting. Have you thought about that? Why it was important to God to turn around and talk about why there would be stipulations in giving? Just give. It's almost like, why stipulations on worship? Just, I'm here, aren't I? Why the spirit and the truth part, Lord? You know, there's reason why God puts stipulations upon those things. And when it comes to money, you know, lay by in store. So what is he talking about when we give here? Because anyone can give and can give a lot, but their heart cannot be right. That's what he says here in verse 7. Let each one you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what? A cheerful giver. His point is everybody can give. And there are people who can give a lot. But not everybody gives this way. Not everybody gives this way. Actually, there's some people who give because they want to let everybody know how much they have. And they have a lot. people will think that they love them and that the Lord will love them. Because of the fact that everyone loves those with money, right? And that's why you want money too, right? Because everybody loves people who have money. Wrong. But what happens in showbiz? What happens with these athletes that come up? Friends come out of the woodwork, right? Because they have lots. But what they are, they're leeches. They want to suck everything out of them. It's how they can get gain. But see, people need to understand the idea here is that, yes, you can have money and you can have that popularity, but it's a facade. And for you and I, we're not going to allow the love of money to do that to us. We're not going to be poisoned by iniquity, as he mentioned here. We're not going to be like Simon, because we're not going to think for one moment that money is going to do that for us. It's not going to change who we are. I would hope that it wouldn't. But money changes a lot of people, folks. If you don't think it does, you need to wake up. It changes people. I pray for family and friends and my brethren. But I'll tell you, when it comes to money, it can destroy lives of people. You have a lot of it. And there are people who have a lot of it. And there are only people. But you might be thinking to yourself, try me. I won't be. But the point is, there is dangers with it. Now let's get back to Simon for a moment. Let's go back to verse 20. I want to read verse 20. Help me get them. Okay, we're doing great. Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money." I love that statement. Your money perishes with you. Those with money forget that it's not lasting. Those that have a love of it. But they try to hold on to it and they count it all the time. They're afraid of dying. You know, as the Ecclesiastes writer Solomon talked about, they're always afraid of who's going to end up with it after I die. There's always that worry and concern about it. But the point is, your money perishes with you because it's not lasting. That's why I mentioned a few moments ago, what does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? You can't take it with you. What did Job tell us? I love Job. Job and all that he went through, the hardships that were there. We studied him not too long ago, but in Job chapter 1, it all came down to this. And somebody quoted this to me earlier when I was telling them about how sick I felt. I thought that was it. It's over. I'm whispering to Debbie, "Here's what you do with the lights, church." You know, setting my house in order. I'm really thinking this is the end. That's how low it got. And I was good with it. I was good with it. I accepted it. You know, just leave it with the Lord. And if that's the way it's going to be, I've been blessed. But when I was sharing that with somebody, and a preacher friend of mine, he quotes this verse. Verse 21. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, when it comes right down to it, we just need to be right with the Lord. And it has nothing to do with this, how much money we have, all the status that we've been trying to get, how much goods we have at home, or even the kind of home that we have, or the kinds of things that we drive. What's going to matter in the end is, you know, is your heart right with the Lord? And the problem with Simon was his heart was not right. That's what he came right up and told him. Let's go back there. Let's see again what he was rebuked. He tells him in verse 21, "For your heart is not right in the sight of God." Your heart's not right. And you go through all the motions. Now, this man recently obeyed the gospel. Just have to back up a little bit, right? Verse 13, "Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs that were done." This person wanted to go to heaven. He had his sins washed away by the blood of Christ. He was a child of God, folks. A child of God can get to the point where his heart is not right in the sight of God. And that can happen to me. And I want to be mindful of it. I want to make sure that I never have a love of money. And I'm sitting there going, "Well, I don't know. Do I have a love of money? Where's the checklist here? You know, where are some signs that would tell me I have a love of money?" We just went over a few. if you think that you should have an advantage because you have money over others, even the poor, you should have an advantage over them. I mean, it's like going to the bank, you know, and you get in line and somebody's ahead of you that doesn't have very nice clothes on. Do you think you should be ahead of them? I know you're thinking, no, I don't think that way. It's a poor illustration, but I just think, just because of what you have, should you be favored? Should you think that you can do whatever you want? These are ways that it surfaces that we have a love of money. That's what surfaced in the life of Simon. You just want power. Those with money might think that that everyone has the same love for money. That was the point when it said that, and I didn't dwell on as much as I should have. Remember it says he offered them money? And I said, why didn't he just ask? Because people with a love of money think that you have a love of money. They think they can play you because they have a love of money. That's why he offers them money. Here's the money, give me. Why did you think that? Well, who's going to turn down the money? Who's going to turn down the money? We're going to turn down the money. Your heart's not right with the Lord, and we want our heart to be right with the Lord. You can't buy me off, like those did in Matthew chapter 28. So, do you think other people have a love of money because you do? And of course, as we're getting down to this last point, those with money forget that it's not lasting. Your money's going to perish with you. Simon, there's what he needs to be told. What? Yeah. You're not going to take it with you, and it's not going to help you in on Judgment Day. You need to get your heart right with the Lord. And so what happened, folks, because of this? Because he could see that he was poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Simon answered and said to him, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. He was pricked to the heart. He realized at that point what he wanted to do with his money was wrong. His heart was not right. It's funny, he said, it wasn't just talking about the money, it was his heart. There's nothing wrong with money, folks. It's your heart that can be wrong. And so let's learn from Simon. Let's learn that of the ever-present dangers that are out there. Yes, work, have a good job, provide for yourself, that's wonderful. But if we think for a moment that money cannot affect us, we're sadly mistaken. The dangers are all around us. Let's make sure that when we give, that we're not giving for the wrong reasons. We're not worried about what other people think. And how many times have I told you, if you come here, the Lord doesn't expect you to give if you don't have. And there are some times we make mistakes. There's sometimes you come and you go, I left the check on the kitchen table. I'm done. Actually, it's in my study. It was right there. And amongst all the papers, I'm picking up and I'll tell Debbie, it's sitting in my office. So, what don't you do? When the collection plate comes along, you don't fake it. You don't do that. It doesn't matter. You give on an individual basis anyways, between you and the Lord, and he understands. And so that's what I'm talking about here, that when he says you give cheerfully, you give proportionately, you give as you've purposed in your heart. Don't allow money, folks, things that pertain to it, keep you at heaven. Because that's basically what Simon would be told if he didn't change. So I hope this lesson helps you as much as it helps me. Are you a Christian? Wonderful. Stay faithful. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. When? Today. I like what Paul told the Corinthian brethren. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If you understand what you need to do, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, are you willing to repent, confess, and be baptized? We need to sit down and show you those verses so you clearly understand. You need to become a Christian. You need to be born again. And you're a child of God, one who has done that, and your heart is not right, you need to pray. And we can pray with you, pray for you, but you need to make it right with the Lord. Folks, let's stay strong. Let's encourage each other to stay strong. And if you're sub the invitation anyway, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song of the Savior.
The voice of the Savior says, come. The cross where he died is in sight. E'en now at the cross there is room. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming? Jesus tonight. The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The voice of the Father implores from mercy's most wonderful high. His love in that call he outpours. Are you coming? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The voices of loved ones entreat. You know your heart they are right. Then list, for the moments are fleeting. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit.
We left the chairs on Wednesday, but the kids are back Monday, so we got to put it all back tonight.
All right. Anything else? From Mike, hold the prayer.
Let's bow as we pray. Most gracious, righteous Heavenly Father, we come to you again in prayer. Father, thanking and praising you, Son, the true and living God. Father, we come before you now humbly, and we come praising you and thanking you, Father, for all that you do for us, the ways that you bless the seen and unseen. And Father, we're so thankful that you'd love us to be here again this evening. We're thankful that for the messages that we've heard. Bless them, Heavenly Father, to our lives that we can take them and apply them where we see fit. Thank you for Chuck and his willingness to present your word in an effective and simple manner. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we're thankful that the truth was presented and that we would take that and use it as we should. Father, we're mindful of those of this congregation who are mentioned sick and dealing with various health issues. We pray for Wigginton children. We pray for Tina and her upcoming procedure. We pray for Brother Dave. We pray for others, Heavenly Father, who are dealing with chronic illnesses and going through medical issues at this time. Be with them, Heavenly Father, and restore that portion of health to them as you see fit. And help us, dear Lord, as brothers and sisters, to one another, to recognize our responsibilities to do what we can to help in whatever way that might be. Be with those, Heavenly Father, who might be struggling spiritually with whatever situation that they have. Bless them, Heavenly Father. Strengthen them in ways that you see fit. Father, we pray that as we depart from here and as we go out into the world, bless us, dear Lord, as we go out and try and live lives devoted to you. You know that we're constantly under attack. Help us to stand strong, to be bold in how that we live and speak and act, that others might see you living through us. And help us to never pass up opportunities to teach those that we come in contact with, that we can keep you first and foremost in our sight. And remember that this world is temporary. You know, we have a focus of heaven and the after a while with you. Father, we're mindful also that, we do sin from time to time. Forgive us of those sins as we repent of them. Pray that you watch over us and keep us in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, TJ, your Bible's right there on that.